sounds a little loud. Can I turn this down somehow? Is it good? Okay, it just sounds loud to me.
No, it's okay.
All right, so they deserved it because they brought it on themselves. I've had enough of them. I'm not forgiving them anymore because they just keep doing it again and then they ask for forgiveness. People don't change. It's just who they are. I can't forgive that. It really hurts some people and it caused a lot of problems. Have you ever said or thought any of these things? How do we know when to forgive? Or why should we? Does forgiveness have limitations? In Matthew 18, 21 through 35, Jesus models when we should be prompted by compassion to show mercy to someone who has sinned. Jesus makes a parallel between an earthly kingdom and the kingdom of God, of heaven. Mercy can be defined as feeling compassion towards someone and withholding punishment. When we are in the position to show mercy, it's usually because somebody has either sinned against us or sinned against somebody that we are to protect. And we have the power to punish them in some way, either directly or through separation. In this passage, we see mercy being shown through the act of forgiveness. The big idea here is because of God's mercy, our mercy should be shown through forgiveness, prompted by compassion, with an expectation for good. Again, the big idea is that God's mercy, because of God's mercy, our mercy should be shown through forgiveness, prompted by compassion, with an expectation for good. Earlier in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, Jesus instructs that if a brother is confronted and refuses to turn from his sin, even after being brought to the church leaders, he should be removed and treated as an unbeliever without being able to minister in the church. But if he repents, we must forgive and have mercy. Then in verses 21 through 23, Peter questions Jesus about how many times we should forgive. Peter's looking for clarification. I wonder if he, like us, was getting frustrated with someone who just wouldn't move on from their sin and keeps going back and then needing forgiveness. Maybe you've experienced this with a Christian friend who maybe made a hurtful observation or broke a confidence. You confront them, you feel they have sincerely asked for forgiveness, and then you hear that they did it again. How many times do you repeat this cycle? Peter offers 7 times. Rabbinical law states that you should forgive 3 times. He's more than doubled it, probably feeling pretty generous at that. But Jesus pushes the threshold. He says 70 times 7, that's 490. This could be hyperbole for don't put on limits. Maybe seeing Peter's shock, Jesus goes on to explain with a parable. He likens the kingdom of heaven to an earthly kingdom. When Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, he's speaking about the spiritual kingdom on earth today, which is made up of believers who will eventually become part of the physical heaven when they die or when Jesus returns. He has just finished instructing in chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, on what to do when another believer sins against you. In verses 21 through 35, he focuses on believers forgiving believers and that God forgives us in the same way that we forgive our brothers. Verses 24 through 27 starts the parable narrative with an earthly king asking for the payment of a servant's debt. This earthly king represents God in the parable. The servant, who represents a believer, doesn't have the money, so he falls down before the master, and he asks him for time to pay and make it right. In response, the king has compassion and not only gives him mercy to not punish him, but he forgives him the entire debt. The amount of money that the servant borrowed, promising to pay back, was great. He should have known when he accepted the money that he could never pay back that much. Back then, a common worker or soldier would earn a coin called a denarius as a day's wage. 200 denarii, or I'm sorry, 6,000 denarii equals one talent. Therefore, the 10,000 talents that the servant owed was 60 million denarii, or about 164,384 years of work. Life expectancy isn't anywhere near that long. Even back then, Methuselah was considered the oldest man in the Bible, and he was only 1,000. So the servant could never pay back a debt of 164,000 years, 164,384 years of labor. I can't even say it. Okay, although this isn't a passage about salvation, there is a debt, however, that we owed that was unpayable. We all owed God. God is the holy, sinless creator. He made us and all things. Therefore, he decides as creator and king of the universe what is right and what is wrong. Sadly, in Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sin is disobedience to God, the King. We owe him our obedience. But in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrate his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed compassion toward our helpless state. We couldn't do anything about our sins, and Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't. He died on the cross, taking on the sins of the people from the past, the present, and the future, which is us. Jesus had compassion, which prompted him to have mercy and show grace by making a way for us to be forgiven. It comes with an expectation. Romans 10:9-10 says that we have to respond in faith that Jesus was raised from the dead and openly declare him as the Lord in charge of our lives. The servant in the story bows to the king and seeks mercy from the punishment the king intends to impose. The king grants it to him. What a burden to be lifted. What a hope to receive. Praise God. I'm free, he must have thought. We can also be free from the penalty of sin, eternal separation from God in hell. Praise God. Because of God's mercy, our mercy should be shown through forgiveness, prompted by compassion, with an expectation for good. Some of the good and expectations that come from forgiveness can be seen in the homework that you did last week. In Luke 7:36-50, love is given to whomever has given forgiveness. Matthew 6 talked about we are forgiven by God in like manner. In Luke 6:36, we are forgiven by God. John 8, Jesus intercedes for a lady accused of adultery and tells her to go and sin no more. That was the expectation. 2 Peter 3, God is long-suffering, showing mercy with an expectation that more will come and repent. In Genesis 50, Joseph forgives his brothers for throwing him into a pit and selling him after he overhears them talking and admitting that they had done wrong. Later, they ask for forgiveness, and he shows them how God, in his sovereignty, used their sin to put him in a position to save thousands and thousands of lives. The king expects the servant to pass it forward, as they say today, but the man doesn't. In verses 28-30, the servant seeks payment from a man who owed him less. He demands payment in a violent way. In response, the man falls down and asks him to pay, time to pay, just like he had done with the king. The servant, however, casts him into debtor's prison and does not forgive. The debt was much smaller. The man owed 100 denarii, which was 100 days of work. That's possible. Next, in verses 31 through 34, the unforgiveness is recognized by others. A fellow servant reports the incident to the king, who upbraids the servant for not reflecting his example. The king forgave much. The servant should have done likewise. The king is angry and sends him to the inquisitor. And this is how God feels when he forgave us a debt. We had no way of paying, and yet he made a way through Jesus. And then we turn around and don't want to forgive. The first servant may be like Peter, or those of us who are believers. What have you been forgiven by God? Even since you become a believer, how many times? We may not consider our acts of disobedience to God as bad as somebody else's, but consider God's perspective. Your sins are way worse than his because he doesn't have any. And yet, my sins are shorter of God's glory than another person's sins are short of my goodness. And yet he forgives me over and over. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not that we lose our salvation, that's a cure, but we want to keep ourselves clean after salvation by continuing to deal with sin and that we get involved in by confessing it. Can we not continue to forgive others who are dealing with sin in their lives also? Finally, God sets the boundary for us in the last verse. We can reflect him by following his example. In verse 35, Jesus states the moral of the parable. God the Father will not forgive anyone who does not forgive his brothers with their heart all of their trespasses. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 happened later, but it's a second location where Jesus refers to forgiving a debt and being forgiven. In this model prayer, we are asked to be forgiven in the same way that we forgive others. What limits would you put on the forgiveness that you receive? Christian, we are to forgive those who sin against us with the assurance that God will forgive us also. God's forgiveness comes with the expectation that we will have compassion and show mercy through forgiveness, and that the expectation that the behavior will change. There is an expectation for change, but if they repent, be ready to forgive them again. Even if they fall back into the sin again and you have to repeat, we have the Holy Spirit in us to empower us to reflect God's mercy. Mercy includes a level of trust in God's sovereignty to provide justice if we have withheld it mistakenly. In conclusion, as God has shown you mercy, show mercy to others, and you will receive mercy and blessing from God. We need to image God by showing mercy as he has to us, because of God's mercy, our mercy should be shown through forgiveness, prompted by compassion, with an expectation for good. This includes offering forgiveness with the hope that the person will turn from their behavior and to the righteous life which God desires.